How's it going, everybody? Welcome again to another episode of the Talking Heads podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing Sam Harris on two different podcasts, one with the guy from Modern Wisdom. The other one is with Russell Brand. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
Alrighty, welcome back to another episode this week. I am again joined by my partner in crime.
Yes, sir.
And also roommate.
You know it. Talking about the world, the problems again.
Talking on the internet. Talking shit on the internet.
Hell yeah.
I try not to talk a lot of shit on this show, but it's funny to tell people that I just get to talk shit on the internet.
Yeah, it's quite the job, man.
Yes.
Living the dream.
We're here talking about Sam Harris today. Two different podcasts, two really good podcasts, actually. I always think Sam has a really good way with words, and he always has a good way to explain things like meditation and a lot of other things. I mean, he is a neuroscientist,
so right.
There's always a wide variety of topics. Recently, though, I've seen a lot of him talk about meditation and being in the present moment.
Yeah. It's important skills for everybody to learn, especially in this day and age.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't listen to both of the podcasts. What were the two that you were in reference to?
So there's this guy, Modern Wisdom. His name is Chris Williamson. I'm sure you've seen some of his clips before. Mm. His episode with David Goggins is really popular. I did a show on that one a while ago. He has a lot of really good shows, though. He's like one of these, kind of like motivational guys. Although his stuff a lot of times is, I think Modern Wisdom is a great way to put the show because he does talk a lot about like philosophy and there's like references to like poetry and more like kind of classical literature in a lot of his stuff rather than just the interviews. Like he has a really good way of like tying back what the guest is saying and then like interpreting that and kind of giving his own piece on that. He's able to do that on a wide variety of topics. Like he's done that with like, he had Eric Weinstein on. We did an episode with him. He did Phil Heath, who's like a 7-time Mr. Olympia guy.
Wow.
So he's like a really good like self-improvement type personality, and he's a really, really good interviewer, which is why I like him. He asks like really good questions, like not surface level, but then he also is like able to ask questions in a way that like is able to be framed to, everyday uses and everyday like just day-to-day life. Like kind of the more practical meat of the subject, which I like. And then obviously Russell Brand speaks for himself.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of Russell Brand episodes on this show. I'm a big fan of him. I have been for a while. I didn't grow up with him though. It's so interesting because, he's culturally this like notoriously like rock star kind of punk life, drug user figure. But I know him as like the kooky hippie meditation guy who's like sober now. You know? So it's always different. Like when I talk to older people about Russell Brand, they always remember like a different side of him.
Yeah, dude. He was in a ton of movies when I was growing up. You didn't see like any of the ones he was in?
I don't know if I saw any of his movies. I've seen some of his like really popular interview moments.
Yeah.
With those charismatic responses and like he's so witty.
Yeah.
But Yeah, he's another guy who I love him. Like his way with words is so amazing. Yeah. He has a way.
He's quite the prolific speaker.
He's very, very prolific, yeah.
Especially when it comes to like actually discussing things in our society with whether it's politics, the military industrial complex, big pharma, all those giant corrupt corporations. He does his research and he knows how to speak about it well, and he's very articulate. And when it comes to those subjects, you really have to be, you have to know your shit. And he does, and he doesn't let anyone push him around. And this is like one of the first podcasts that I listened to with him, and what he had to say, it's pretty sound and accurate from what I've come to understand is the problem in our current society.
He's great. Yeah. He's very anti-establishment. Yeah. I'm just seeing like recently he did one with Candace Owens, which sounds like a good episode. Yeah. His one of Sam Harris is actually pretty recent. That was just September 8th.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they were talking about the stuff going on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you keep up with that war, but holy shit.
I don't. He did one with Wim Hof.
Oh, that's probably a good one. Wait, Russell did?
Russell did, okay. Yeah. There was I see Bear Grylls. The episode with Tucker Carlson. I think it was also really popular.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Tucker Carlson's kind of been on this enlightenment journey, I would say.
Yeah, kinda. You know, I used to, back in his Fox News day, like I remember my fucking parents or my parents and my grandparents watching him on Fox News.
Yeah.
And that version of Tucker Carlson, I wanted to shoot.
Yeah, same here. He was just, I mean, because he was also spouting a lot of the shit that the Fox News producers were wanting him to say. And, you know, they try to make all that content really like dramatic and salient.
I think he's a good, like, he's one of these figures, like, I put Ben Shapiro in the same side where it's, like, kind of more right-leaning ideas on a lot of things, like, kind of the more conservative aspect of looking at things. Same thing with Jordan Peterson, which I always try and plug into to kind of hear the opposite side of things.
Yeah, as we should.
But some of his stuff on Fox News, I was like, that's just like, it's not just a conservative view. It's like the radical.
Yeah, it's
like
very, Fox-news-ified. It's an extremist version.
Yeah, which I was never a fan of. But he's been really recently popular. He's been really culturally relevant. I think since he left Fox, he's also done some interviews with like Andrew Tate and
he did one with Tate.
Recently, actually, since they've been in, I think house arrest. They were in house arrest for a while. Huh. That was one of the things that Sam talked about in the podcast with the Modern Wisdom one with Chris was, you know, we have these, like in our society now, we have this role that needs to be filled of, you know, male role models, you know, which rather than having that be done by like family, you know, we have these internet people who tend to do that. You know, for a while it was Jordan Peterson, which he did a good job at that, encouraging young people.
Yeah.
But he's kind of strayed away from that more. And, you know, I think a lot of young kids are so desperate for that they'll kind of cling to anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andrew Tate's not a stupid person, but a lot of the stuff that he says, is just, it's not the right way to say it. It's not the right sentiment.
Yeah. He brings up like a lot of really sound points, but then he strays his users away in the direction that we should actually be encouraging these young men who have been, like what Jordan Peterson talks about, a lot of these men have just been left hopeless. They've been, what's a good word for it? Almost desensitized to think that your only value in the society is from the things that you create. You're only worth as much as what you provide to society. And that's hard for a lot of young men because there's not this unconditional love that most people like women and children get. And when you talk to those young men who have been hurt in that way, it's anything that you tell them that's going to go with their pain and go with their hurt, they're going to attach to, because at least someone's recognizing it. And like you said, it's hard to find those male role models nowadays. And especially in the day and age of internet, it's just so easily to get led astray by these men who are talking about the problems. And then they just use it to push their own agenda, which is rather unfortunate. But the good thing is we are now having a lot more really solid and intellectual men actually speak out and be advocates for these for young men growing up and everybody, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's just like, you know, I think we need to focus on encouraging young men to, yeah, like, you know, obviously be independent, be strong, work on yourself, you know, but it's not that all of life is a competition. Like, this is one of the things that I disagree with Andrew Tate on. It's like, it's not always you versus your neighbor. A lot of times you need to work together with people.
Oh,
and I think that the best problems are those that are solved in unison. And, you know, I don't think that like getting a Bugatti is like the pinnacle of every man's life. You know, I think things like raising a family, having a career that you're involved in and passionate about, I think all of those things are equally as important.
Right.
You know,
like there shouldn't be this push to just solely go after the material world. Like, oh, your life will be set when you have a Bugatti or the $1 million home, or you have a yacht where you can get all your girls on it. Like, sure, a lot of those things are appealing at the end of the day, and but they're not sustainable. They're not fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that he tries to push this whole idea of money and stuff. You should be working on the intrinsic things, the traditional values, like what you said about building a family, having a good, solid career that you genuinely like to follow, and you're not just after it for the monetary value and the income.
Yeah. This is what I like about a lot of Eastern like religion and philosophy is it's a lot more like in the West we have this idea of it's like very much like individualism, and you know, that's great and that allows us for a lot of freedom, but in Eastern culture, like things like family dinners are like super important. Like those kinds of traditions and things of that nature are super crucial for society. And I think that in the Western world, as we've kind of abandoned religion in a lot of ways, I think we really lack on those ways. And I think it's just going to hurt our communication skills.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we can't think of ourselves as being individual creatures within a society where we're constantly around people and having to work with people. It just, nothing about that system makes sense.
Yeah.
And if it's always a competition, then you're constantly striving to outdo your neighbor. And it's just, it's a terrible cycle that just hurts people. And that's not what we need. And we see it every day in this society and culture where our world and nature and people just keep getting hurt because of it. And then like they talk about this in the podcast too, of like, you know, kind of why this happens. In the Russell Brand one with Sam Harris, they talk about the tangent I would like to say is just like the how we incentivize making people research for COVID vaccine, right? It costed billions of dollars to actually do, but how do you actually incentivize people to really work on these projects like that? It's with money and competition, and not many people have that intrinsic motivation to really go after those things, is what Sam Harris was kind of saying. And that's why capitalism is kind of nice, because it really forces people to get out of bed and go do something.
Yeah. He was explaining as well, like there's kind of a double standard where if you have a lot of money and popularity, but you're a movie star, you know, that's socially okay. But if you have a lot of money and notoriety because you started an orphanage, it's like, that's a little bit weirder, you know? And so there's like this kind of double standard. And, you know, he said like there's not incentives for people to, you know, be motivated by more than money. You know, and I think that, you know, Russell pointed out, and I think it's a great point, is like our systems are not incentivizing that at all. We're not bringing people up to, you know, have things like even just basic ethics, I feel, are lacking a lot in society. And so it's like, when you're telling people growing up that either you need to, you know, grow up and be a banker, or, you know, you and your family are going to really struggle in life, it's like, that's not going to help people.
No.
You know, and that's going to leave a lot of people worried about what they need to do. Whereas, you know, I feel, you know, focusing on what's actually useful for people and what brings you joy is more important than, you know, what pays. Although it is hard because, like, prices have gone up tremendously in society. There's more of that pressure that you have to provide. And Yeah, so it's hard, but I think I think overall our society does not incentivize anything more than just gaining more capital.
Right, and it's easy to keep buying back into this cycle because your system just heavily enforces it upon you. At the end of the day, we have to make money to survive, and it's hard to get out of that cycle, like where you're always constantly paying for rent, groceries, and the prices just keep going up to a point where you can't actually save to go work on the things that you want to. Like, that's how it kind of used to be, was where you kind of had this disposable income at the end of the day, minus rent and bills and groceries and all that stuff. But now you have little go-between. It's just go work at your job so you can be able to survive. And that's not the way it should be. We've become, it's almost like, it's like slavery. I don't know how to like phrase that, but like you're pretty much forced into this. You don't have much of a choice. You got to live somehow. You got to pay bills.
I think the only thing that doesn't make it slavery is that you're not held against your will.
Sure.
You know.
Not like gun pointed to your head, but like if you want to survive, eat, have a family.
Yeah.
Have a lot of these traditional things, have the tools to go.
It's like what they did after slavery is like you're technically free, but you just raise the cost of everything. You can't leave. You can't do anything more than just like continue to work pretty much.
Yeah. And that's why we see this like push wake with the World Economic Forum and the people who are trying to globalize the world is to make people constantly rent. So they're always paying and always giving back to the banks and
this
these
is why everything
groups.
Is a subscription service now.
Right. Yeah. It's just you're constantly giving money back. That's why we don't own anything. It's this constant drive and incentive for profit. It just I like the comparison that it's like cancer cell division. It's just this endless reproduction of profit that's not really benefiting society in any way except for to keep this economic system running when it's the downfall of
us. The money really only goes in one direction, and that's up.
Right.
You know, it's like there's not – the government programs are not really incentivizing, you know, people to go out there and
do good.
Do good, yeah, and try, you know. It's just it's hard, but, you know, I think I think that people just need to kind of break free from these societal norms that we have of like,
yeah, that's a big
know,
one.
You have to get a job that, you know, is, you know, in a field that makes a lot of money. It's like you can find other ways to do that.
Right.
You know, I think like a big thing that, you know, Jordan Peterson talks about is like, you know, more than what like, more so than are you making money or are you happy, is like, is it what you're doing actually useful for people? Mm. Like, is it useful for society?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times if you can create or provide something that's useful for people, you can make a lot of money that way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's like, that's one of the things that, you know, is good about recessions a lot of times, is that a lot of these like kind of bullshit businesses that people just, you know, do for whatever, that aren't even like, they're not helping anything. Like,
yeah,
they
get weeded
go
out.
Away. Yeah, they get weeded out.
And that's how the economic system should work.
And that's, we have a lot of that nowadays. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I can do whatever. Like, I can do this. I can do what. And yeah, you can. But it's like, should you?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's like, should you really do that?
True.
You know.
But the other thing I will say, in especially in this day and age with these massive corporations that have reaches and wealth beyond our wildest imaginations, is it makes it hard to actually be able to start up and come up with your own businesses and really create your own innovations, because they're really done by these corporations already, like Apple or Microsoft, or, you know, even just holding all the wealth like BlackRock, State Street and Vanguard. I mean, it's kind of hard when the money doesn't recirculate back into the economy and it's just held in the hands of these oligarchs who control or who have 80% of the stock market. It's not...
Yeah,
really in the hands of us to do whatever we want.
The hard part is too, like, if you do create something that's, you know, meaningful and gets off the ground and you start to move in a direction that's really good, you know, there's always going to be those people who try and buy it off of
right.
you. You know, and so it takes, I think another big thing too is like, a lot of people maybe are motivated by money and they forget that ethics are a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is why we have OnlyFans people.
You know, don't even get me started about that shit.
It really is like people are willing to abandon any slight hint of morality and
character, you know, pride character. Just for money.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yes, that's financially really enticing. But, you know, like, I heard a thing of earlier today of someone who, you know, they were getting bullied in school because their I guess their mom did OnlyFans, and, you know, the kid ended up, you know, taking his own life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and so, you know, I there's going to be a lot of these, like, weird societal things that happen because of this, and I think long-term, like, yeah, while the people doing it are young and they can still make money from it, but it's like, what are these OnlyFans girls going to do when they're, like, wrinkly and 50 years old?
Right, and not, you know, even. Like, even when they get to the age of 30, I mean, at the end of the day, you always have a constant new supply, unfortunately, of younger girls going to get onto this app so they can also get their bag.
And but I mean, like, what's going to happen when you start doing OnlyFans at, like, 18? When you're 30, you know, and you're that's not bringing in any money anymore, or, you know.
Then what? How do you go to a job where you see, like, like, oh, you were an OnlyFans model for the last 8 years.
You can't undo that.
You made, you made like $2.5 million and you didn't save any of it. You didn't invest it.
Yeah. It's going to be similar to, like, the crowd of, like, what was it? Mumble rappers, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. Little Peep and that's all a crazy comparison. Yeah.
You know, but it's honestly, it's like you're providing something that maybe it's.
It's momentary.
Maybe, you're getting more money than God at the moment. But, you know, it's like, what are you going to do when that ship ends?
Yeah.
You know, like, not only, like, you know, financially, but also, like, morally and ethically. Like, at what point do you wise up and be like, you know, maybe I should quit doing OnlyFans?
That's true.
And how do you undo that, you know? It's like, what's that one porn star who was, like, the most popular person.
Mia Khalifa.
Yeah. Now she has a kid and she, like, worries about people's, like, judging her online. It's like, it's what, like, did, dude, you expect?
Really, yeah.
What did you expect?
You kind of brought it upon yourself. I mean, we all have, there's consequences to our actions and whatever we do. And especially when you just kind of go show off your body for money, it's like, there's going to be stigmas and stuff that goes along with that. It's kind of hard to just kind of be like, oh, you can't think of me differently because I did porn. It's like, I think I can.
Yeah, I totally am. I'm totally going to think of you differently, you know? I mean, even, I don't know. It's weird, though, you know? Like, I think a lot of it is, like, we're getting desensitized to stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, you read some crazy headline nowadays, and you're like, whatever. But, you know, you read that same headline, like,
10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Like, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't even believe this. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think both on, like, a cultural front, obviously the technological front, but then also I think, it's just like we're just a new level of crazy is now acceptable.
Right.
And oftentimes praised. And, you know, I think that's really not good.
No, not at all. And it's almost like a train that has lost control of the brakes. It's just going to keep rolling. We've kind of gotten to this point where it's just nothing can really just, like, really take us out of this trance that we're in from all this crazy shit that has happened, like a pandemic and being in a lockdown, losing our sense of community, an inflation, a war in Ukraine that could possibly be World War III, a nuclear war even that could cause a lot more problems. It's, of course, a lot of people are desensitized. It's just hard to be a person right now. And I guess at the end of the day, that's kind of like what Russell Brand and Sam Harris were talking about, is like finding ways to get rid of this system that we're in and really help educate people to what's going on and make these radical changes that we so desperately need. But it's hard work.
Yeah, I think one of the more interesting topics, both on both of the podcasts that they were talking about, is like Sam talks about this, and I think rightfully so, you know, he talks about this concern between, you know, obviously free speech is important and, you know, we don't want things like censorship to come in and take away that. But then also, like, misinformation is huge now. And, you know, he's just, I think, kind of, I don't think he's not taking stabs at anybody, but he's just saying, like, a lot of these podcasters who, you know, and I'm kind of guilty of this as well, is like, just this idea of like, oh, well, we can't trust anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, kind of like the RFK Jr. view of things, where it's like the whole system needs to come down.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's True, yes, it is corrupt and flawed, but like Sam was saying, like, we need like a CDC that we can trust.
We need pretty much. Some like, entity.
We need these systems that actually right. work, because it's like,
because if we don't have that, we're really lost.
Yeah, if we don't have that, if we don't have some sort of governing body that we can trust, you know, it's like that's pretty much just, you know, everyone on their
It'll
own.
Tear us apart. Yeah,
yeah, and so it's like, you know, we don't need to just discredit everything that mainstream media says.
Yeah,
and you know, and I think with anything too, it's like a lot of these podcasters have, like, they're really smart, really good at articulating what they say. They're really easy of like making things seem logical, but like with any information, you need to do your own research.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And you need to make sure that, you know, I think you're not saying, you know, basically like half truths.
Right.
Like it's not because these things are wrong. It's just that they're leading to thinking that is not placed correctly.
Right. It's misconstrued. And I think like another thing that we should, the reason why I think that psychology should be taught to young kids or just people in the world is, if you look at our psychology of how the brain works, all of us are biased in some sense, no matter what. We're going to always pick and choose the information that most conforms with our ideas, and we tend to ignore the data that doesn't. It's that classic confirmation bias. And it's hard to really get rid of that and past that, especially in this world. That's like what we see on how different media sources, whether it's CNN or Fox, how they'd have different views and how they're going to reshape a story to make you feel some sort of emotion. That's just not how it should be done. We should be giving the facts to people and then letting them decide from it. And then we can have like our leaders actually say like, okay, this is like how we should feel about this. This is what we can do to solve this. This is how we can whatever. It shouldn't just be misconstrued to make this agenda so you feel some type of way, so you disregard everything you're hearing and you don't hear the key points. And it's just this story to make you accept someone else's idea so you blindly follow them. And it becomes yeah. increasingly hard in this day and age.
And I think it's also like, you know, you need to come to an agreement with the other side on what you're going to say. Like, I think the right and the left are both guilty of doing this, but it's like we can't just say the other side is shit and
no,
you know, sit on our rock and be like, oh, well, you know, at least I'm not them. You know, it's yeah. like if we want people to come together and things to work properly, we need a conversation on both sides.
Right. And we need cooperation to be able to meet in the middle. Yeah. Like half of the battle is just being able to listen to the person you're debating with, what their side of the argument is, how they feel, because I'm sure it's justified in some way. And if you're going to keep just arguing about it, you're never going to find the middle ground, and it's just going to be this constant fight. And in that way, we never get anything done. And that's why the modern media tends to try to divide us so much now, so we can't actually collaborate and have a concise answer to better our society.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's kind of what Sam was saying as well, is like, you know, a lot of these like podcasters, like he brought up, I don't know if you know who Brett Weinstein is.
I've heard of him.
His brother is Eric Weinstein. Brett is a evolutionary biologist.
Mm-hmm.
But he was basically just saying like, you know, for anybody, like, how many fucking podcasts do you need to make about COVID?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, was it a lab leak? Maybe. Probably. But, you know, it's like, unless we know that or we know anything, you know, it's like, why go on all day talking about speculations?
Yeah.
You know, like, especially if you want your conversation to, you know,
go anywhere,
accomplish anything, you know, right. come to some consensus. It's like speculations are fun when you're in the woods on shrooms.
Yeah.
You know, you can just,
but it's not going to get you anywhere.
But it's not productive for political conversations.
Absolutely not.
And like actually fixing things in society. So,
yeah.
You know, we need to make sure that what we're saying is based on truths and
real hard evidence. And that is
and
actually
is relevant,
impactful.
You
relevant.
Know, is,
true.
Yeah. Relevant. True. Yeah. You know, provable. You know, I think the issue is just like it's so hard to find reliable sources of information nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and like to go back, like that's another thing that they're just not teaching us. I think a lot of societal issues really come back to education. This is something
100%.
That I really feel strongly about is I think like things like, you know, political divisiveness, lack of critical thinking in young people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just like from that like classic
morals
economic model.
Education. I think a lot of these are morals. I think a lot of these things can be not solved entirely, but can pretty much be worked out on their own with critical thinking, like teaching people actually how to think about the world.
Be a free thinker and not just listen to the authoritarian views. Like, this is the right answer. You have to listen to this.
And also how to, like, decipher misinformation, you know, and do cross-referencing and things like that. You know, we don't teach that at all. No. We don't teach about cognitive dissonance.
Fuck no. And at the end of the day, we should. We should make people who are able to think for themselves to really truly have the tools to be able to decipher all this information. And we've really failed this generation of new kids coming in about, we have so much information that has never, we have never had this much information on this planet. And it becomes even harder to truly find the solid, real information that you need to actually be able to go out and create the change that we see fit. But a lot of those problems stem back, what is it, like 100 years now? I mean, ever since John D. Rockefeller started the helping institute different education systems. I mean, his famous quote, I want a nation of thinkers, or I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. And it's from those humble beginnings that it's just completely gone off the rails, and we don't have the tools to handle ourselves in society. Yeah. I mean, some do, but
that's the issue is, like, you know, if you teach things like trickery to children, they don't get the magic show. You know, they're gonna see that as bullshit, and they're not gonna be easily manipulated and all this stuff, which is what the establishment wants. You know, they want people that are easily confused and manipulatable. But you know, if we're going to fix these things, I think, you know, people have to kind of take responsibility. You know, if the system is going to suck, then I think that call for personal responsibility needs to be even greater. And, you know, people need to make sure, being aware of the issues, that you're not playing into the problem of them.
You're just making it worse. You're just trying to work on what they want you to do.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's like the other issue is, like, with a lot of this information that's coming out, is the way that people present it is in such a fast paced and, you know, easily digestible format that it makes it really impossible sometimes to go in on how in depth a lot of these conversations are. Yeah. You know, like,
to really digest that information. Like, you just get that hit of information. It's like, whoa, really? And then most people don't do their research about it.
Yeah.
And then that thought just kind of lives in their mind, and they just speak about it and really don't actually research what they're saying.
Yeah. I know, I'm guilty. You know, Sam was talking about Twitter and how he, you know, left Twitter because it is like that, you know. It's like there's some helpful stuff, but a lot of it is just like short clickbait, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of
get the views so you can.
What do you call it?
A lot of clicks.
Social. What's it called? Basically, where you I can't remember what it's called.
It's almost like propaganda.
Like social peacocking.
Oh,
is that what it's called? Is that what it's called? I guess that would be a better. But like, basically, you're trying to make yourself seem better than you are. You're like, oh, look how much trash I recycled today. Yeah. Like, it's like you don't actually give a shit about trash. You just want to make yourself look better on social media.
Yeah. Oh, virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling. Yeah. That's the phrase I was looking for. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah, and it's really not helpful because we have these, like, echo chambers nowadays.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's just like the same people are hearing the same kind of information.
That confirmation bias.
No one's branching out. No one's, like, asking questions, you know.
Yeah.
And, it's a slippery slope. And I think that it is especially devastating to, like I said, like, younger people who don't know how to, like, they don't know how to read information, you know. Yeah. Like,
not think for themselves. Especially, like, the thing with echo chambers, that is a huge problem right now. And nobody looks to the other side, and it's like, why are we constantly, you're just bickering and clashing with each other. There's no dialogue. We just seek to keep reinforcing our own ideas. And how are we ever going to do anything when it's like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, there needs to be some new stuff coming in. You know, if you don't have any new stuff coming in, you're not going to have any new stuff coming out. And I think too, like, if people love to, you know, be like, oh, well, I want to be part of the solution. You know, I want to make things better, but you know, they don't put any action forward of how to do that, or, you know, even make it seem like that's,
yeah,
you know, a possibility.
True. But a lot of the times is the places where real change is going to happen are these really powerful positions that take decades to actually get to. And we're seeing that now where there's not really this push to actually be able to, I mean, like, take the U.S. Congress, for example. I know there's some new House and speakers and senators who are really advocating for good change. They're from the generation Gen Z or some millennials, but the millennials are kind of not doing jack shit. But there's starting to be a push where we're actually seeing some good congressmen and people in office. But it's just, they're outnumbered by all of these really powerful people in the government who have known how the system works and who have been in the government for decades, and they suppress their ideas. And there's just not enough people at the top to actually make these changes. And what we really need is a strong leader to actually be able to help people realize what's really going on and articulate these ideas. And, you know, like, Russell Brand is a really great person to show this. And the dialogue that he and Sam Harris had, it brings a good sense of hope that there are people that truly care about it. There are people that truly get it, and they are able to tell people what's going on and not have their messages be construed in misconception. And they bring real empirical evidence to the conversation, which, like we were talking about, is fundamental. But at the end of the day, if they're not in these positions where they can really have a mass outreach or in positions of power, we're not going to be able to have to do anything about it.
Yeah, I think I'm one of these guys who prescribes the idea that, like, the real change in the world comes from, like, you know? Like, Jordan Peterson talks about that a lot, you know? Yep. Like, I think the more people who know about this kind of stuff, you know, the more people who want this kind of change to happen, the more people who are actually bringing that to their life, I think the better. And I think, you know, another important thing is, like, having these conversations. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I really avoid this, which I guess goes against what I'm saying, but, like,
it's,
you know,
hard
will, you know, voice something mildly political, and then immediately you put them in a box and you judge them and everything. And it's like, you know, you don't need to do that. Like, I have a lot of people who I differ politically with, who I'm really close with. And, you know, it's a lot of times it just comes down to, like, we were just raised differently.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. We prioritize things a little bit differently. We see things a little bit different because we were brought up a little bit differently. But, you know, I think that's another thing that a lot of people forget politically is there is never one, like, right way to do things. A lot of times, you know, the way you look at the world is very much due to, you know, your upbringing and where you live, you know, in relation to, like, how big of a city you're in,
what part of the country you live in.
If you live on a farm, you're obviously going to have political opinions that differ than someone who lives in a city, you know?
Right.
And that's why we have, like, kind of sectioned off government as far as, like, state regulation on things.
That's helpful.
Know?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people are quick to dismiss people from the other side, but, you know, you may have more in common with them than you think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to have those conversations. You know, I think the more of that, the better. Also talked about, like I said in the beginning of the show, talked a lot about meditation in the show. Sam is a big meditation guy. Talked a little bit about Stoicism, Buddhism, and yeah, kind of living in the moment. You know, Sam made this great point about, you know, I mean, obviously you're always in the present moment. You can't escape that, you know, And so a lot of times, and this is something that I try and do is like, you know, just stop and look around for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do that, a lot of times you'll realize like, oh, I might be a little bit anxious about whatever it is, but it's really not that big of a deal. You know, I just got to do this, that, and the other, and things are good. But, you know, I think it is often a lot of times I love moments where I'm able to just stop myself in the middle of busyness and just look around at like the beauty and everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always
everything into perspective.
There's always like little nuanced things that you may miss around you or, you know, sometimes, you know, you're just sitting somewhere and you're like, oh, this is kind of cool that I ended up here or whatever it is. But, and this kind of goes back to meditation, but, you know, just taking a couple of minutes a day to just be present in the moment, I think is really, really crucial and really important. Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's something that I benefit a lot from.
Yeah.
Even though I'm terrible at it.
Right. But like anything, it's just such a fast paced world. We just get caught up in it. And it's nice to be able to actually, and now meditation is more important than ever, but there's so much stimuli in our environment that we distract ourselves with instead of meditating because it feels better. That's why so many people just hop on Instagram, YouTube, or TikTok instead of just sitting in silence. We've gotten so accustomed to always being stimulated, we forget what it's like to be bored and have a second to just take for ourselves.
Yeah, and I always feel like those moments when, especially when things are like, not the worst, because I don't have that much to complain about in life. But like when I feel like things are like, I'm confused or I don't know how this is going to work out or whatever. Like those are the moments when I stop myself and I like just, you know, I'm not looking for something, but it's often in those moments that I find the answers that I need. When I slow down from the hustle and bustle and I maybe stop thinking about the problem at hand, you know, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Have a glass of orange juice, you know, find a sea saw somewhere, you know, just, I don't know. Just like the other day, I just went to the, I went to this creek and I just like put my feet in the water, you know, and like looked at rocks and it was just like an hour out of my day.
Yeah.
You know, but I really needed that. And it was like rejuvenating to my soul. It felt, and I like after that happened, I like, you know, I was obviously thinking about this project that I'm working on and stuff, but I felt so clear afterwards. Yeah. You know, I felt like I had not figured everything out, but I more had like this sense of confidence where I'm like, you know, I think everything's gonna be okay. I think things are gonna work themselves out.
Yeah,
I just gotta slow myself down a little bit, you know. And
that's what we need.
There's a lot of those like little details in life that really can kind of guide us a lot of times.
I agree.
Yeah, well, I think we're almost done here. Before we go, we got a couple minutes left. Was there anything else that you thought of in this podcast that you liked? Or, you know, better yet, is there any podcast that you've listened to recently that you really liked?
I forget his name, but it has to do with, it was on Joe Rogan, I forget his name, but they're talking about ancient civilizations and placing the true start of quote-unquote human history. And there's another guy who was talking about this, how a lot of modern archaeologists estimate humans to go back like, or modern humans to go back like 12,000 years. But there's a lot of these researchers who think that human history could go back 200,000 years, which is absolutely crazy. His name's Matthew LaCroix. He talks about just all of these ancient civilizations, how it's been covered up, different all these different pyramids that have been buried and ancient cities that go past our like when we do carbon dating, they go past our estimates of when human civilization started. And it's a lot of crazy ideas that are or theories in that, but he has a lot of solid evidence to actually back his stuff up.
Interesting. And you said he went on Rogan?
Or no, not LaCroix. There was another guy. Let me look it up really quick.
Yeah, I know Rogan does a lot of those like ancient Graham civilized Hancock. People. Oh, yeah, I've heard of him. I don't think I've listened to his podcasts before, but I've heard his name. I know he did some pretty, I've seen a lot of his clips on YouTube and stuff. But okay, cool.
I love those ones. It's just, it's unfortunately, it's not super relevant, but it's cool to see different like ideas of like who was actually around. Like there was this point where I believe it was Plato who was talking about the Atlanteans. He was saying there was this ancient civilization that went back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think the Iliad and the Odyssey mentioned as well a couple times. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But one thing that Socrates said is he, so Socrates was around the time of, I believe it was 500 BC, and he said that these Atlanteans were around 6,000 years ago. And if you take that timeline and you add 6,000 years, we can see that's when that massive major flood was.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's weird if that Plato's was going to choose any random date. How did he choose a date that was like actually around when this flood was? So pretty interesting.
Yeah, that one's interesting. There's some good stuff about Atlantis.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. But yeah, that's the show for this week, guys. Go check out Sam Harris's discussion with Chris and with Russell. I'll put them in the description below. Thank you, Hayden, for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, we will get back to you guys next week. Peace.